Hi, welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Simulri Breast Pumps. From ultra tiny pumps as small as a sticky note and to fully adjustable pumps with 85 combination settings, including their new S7. You're in control of your pumping journey. And we will hear more from our sponsor later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page and see if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. Also, if you go to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and you go to our episodes page, there is a search bar and you can search any topic that you want and see if it comes up in the search, because there's like 400 now. So there's a lot. And you can also scroll all the way down and enter your email address, and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are also on Patreon. And I would like to welcome Christy and Ashley for joining us over there. We hope to see you there. We are I'm trying to think about what's coming up, but when this episode is going to publish and that I'm talking about the right thing. We are going to have, we have Zoom hangouts every month where we all get together and talk. We have, we record extra episodes and mini podcasts with little tutorials and information. And it's just a lot of fun. So join us there. Head to the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. There'll be a link right there over to it. Or you can also find that at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. And we're still hosting our ongoing giveaway. So leave a review anywhere on the internet, whether it's a written review or stars like on Spotify. iTunes is great if you can do that. That's where most of the listens come from. And take a screenshot and send it to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And we will send you a goodie bag of thank you for nursing in public cards and stickers. And yes, now Diane has our review of the week.
I do. And it says, love listening to you ladies. You guys are super helpful and encouraging and have given me tremendous confidence in my breastfeeding journey, which, by the way, has been a huge success for me and my daughter. Two thumbs up and five stars all the way. And then on a side note, she put, can I seriously drink while breastfeeding? I've listened to that episode three times. I'm nervous me drinking affects my baby. Can you please share your data with me on that? Or can we chat about it sometime? So would you like to...
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can drink while you're breastfeeding. It's not the same as when you're pregnant. Your body is metabolizing the alcohol while it's in your system, and it does pass through your breast milk, but I don't think people realize this, but everything, well, not everything, some things have an alcohol content, like orange juice has an alcohol content, which is actually higher than your breast milk would be if you were drunk. So, yeah, it just doesn't work like that. It's, you know, I think we think, oh, this alcohol is like, you know, whatever wine is, what alcohol proof, like 10% or
I think like 8 or 10% or something like that. Yeah.
So we think that, oh, drink it. And then our blood alcohol level is going to be 10%. I mean, you'd be dead. First of all, you wouldn't survive that, but that's not how it works. I mean, it's like the way that, oh God, what's that guy's name who wrote the thing about the alcohol?
Oh, I can't remember.
I was just trying to think of another name before. I was trying to think of Dr. Sears to talk about for this episode. And now I can't remember the other doctor's name, but it will come to me and the resource is on our website. He was like, it's like a shot of vodka in a pool.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not, it's so diluted to just use like a straight up word by the time it gets to your breast milk, that it's not going to affect your baby. I mean, before people say like, oh, I drink and it relaxes my baby, or my baby looks tipsy, or my baby's going to be tipsy. That is like physically not possible for you to get your blood. Your breast milk is a blood product. So it's the same as your blood alcohol level is your breast milk alcohol level. For you to get your blood or breast milk alcohol level to a point where your baby could actually like be tipsy, like you, there's no way you would survive that. You can't. That's not physically possible.
It would be a lot. You'd have to drink a lot.
That's not. You'd drink a lot. You would be dead.
Yeah.
Before you got there. So when we talk about alcohol drinking while we're breastfeeding, what we need to focus on is the safety of the baby. Like, you don't want a bed share. You want to make sure that you're not drunk. If you are, that's fine. But you need to have a sober person present to care for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's the things that we're talking about when we're talking about alcohol and breastfeeding. Because the alcohol in the breast milk is not. And if you really are worried about it, like, it's not, if you're like, I don't want to like deal with that at all, then you can like drink while your baby is nursing. You can have like a glass of wine while you're nursing. And then like by the time your baby nurses again, it'd be out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
But like, literally, I'm telling you, you do not need to focus on that. You don't have to like do all the calculations. It's not enough.
No, it's,
you know,
not.
We're talking about trace amounts. It's not enough to worry about.
No. And even the research says it's fine. Like, if you research it and look for research articles about it, they're going to say it's not sufficient enough to interrupt breastfeeding.
No. And that's why I'm saying it. I'm not saying it because like Abby's rule, like, I just decided that everyone is fine. Like, you know, I've read the research. I'm telling you what the research says.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you have more like specific questions or anything, then just shoot us an email at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com.
Yeah, because I do.
You do.
That one thing, there was a post that this freaking doctor, he was a Canadian doctor. I can't think of his freaking name right now. He made this Facebook post, and I wish he would write it on like a website or something to make it more official. But he wrote like the little like science out, and it's a very, very great post. And it's linked on our website. If you go to the resources page, you can find it there. Or just send me an email and I can give it to you. BadassBreastfeedingPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. But thank you so much for sending in that review for us, too. And we always like a little side question. That's always fun.
I know. So. Yeah, that is a great way to start off an episode. Get a little info in there before we talk about the big thing.
I know. And today we're going to talk about separation anxiety, which isn't breastfeeding related, but it is breastfeeding related.
It is.
So, yeah.
But it's baby. It's even more broad. It's just baby, really. If you have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably think that this is happening or worry about it happening, or.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But one of the things that I, and we probably read a lot of the same things, but one of the things that I read that I really liked, says, although separation anxiety can be distressing for both infants and caregivers, for babies this age, it's a sign that they are securely attached to their caregiver. This means that the infant has formed a strong and healthy bond with their parent or caregiver, which is important for social and emotional functioning throughout life. And that is where you're going to get your breastfeeding from. If you're breastfeeding your baby, you're already forming a secure attachment with them. So you're going to see the separation anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is, I feel like with separation anxiety, I don't like the term because it, the way that it, you say separation, anxiety is like not a good word. Like,
yeah,
we just, anxiety is a problem. Like for, you know, adults, when we think about anxiety, it's a problem. So if we see a baby that looks anxious or is going through this, we think, oh my God, something's wrong. They're going through, you know, they're having a problem. And like, this is just a normal part of development. It's absolutely normal. They're going to be worried about you not being around more, sometimes more at times than other times is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? Why can I not think of how to say that? Like sometimes no, more than other times. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then also like sometimes more with certain babies than other babies.
Because exactly.
This is literally how like attachment parenting, the whole concept. I mean, of course, attachment parenting just means parenting towards their developmental level, which is old, but the term is fairly new. It's from like the 60s or 70s when Dr. Sears coined the term and wrote the book. He says in his book, like he was just parenting his kids and going along and everything was kind of normal. And then he had this one baby that was like constantly crying, constantly needing to be held, constantly just, you know, so needy. And he was like, what the hell? And so then, you know, he writes this book about how just this is parenting. This is attachment parenting, like answering their cries, keeping them close. Like there's not anything wrong with this baby. This is how some babies are just more chill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some babies are just more chill and you feel like, and it's like, okay, well, they're comfortable going to different people. They sleep a little easier. They don't cry as much. And that's just some babies are like that. But the babies that are real high needs, I feel like they're the ones that they're the kind of gauge of how we parent. It's like, oh, when they cry, you pick them up. You keep them close. You answer these needs. And this is what fosters that connection, that's that attachment, literally attachment to a caregiver. Because we think, oh, separation anxiety, it's bad. You have to create more separation so that they get used to it. You know, they have to cry so that they can, you know, get used to it or go in their crib and cry and get used to going to sleep on their own. Except that that's not what happens. Like if you have a plant, say you have a little plant in your window and you're like, oh my God, this plant is so needy. It like needs all the sun and it needs all the water. And oh my God, it's so obnoxious. I'm going to teach this plant a lesson and I'm going to just not water it. And not put it in the sun so it can get used to the way life is going to be. Well, it's not going to grow, right? It's not going to happen. You don't get to control like what this other living thing needs. Your baby's the same. Your baby needs certain things in order to grow and develop attachment to you. And then when we provide that, when we provide the answering to their other cries, you know, times when they're feeling extra needy, we just lean into it instead of leaning away from it. That's what creates this. When you're fostering that attachment, you foster it, you lean into it, you answer it, you meet the needs. And this is what creates independence later on. And people think that it's just that looks that seems so backwards, but it's not. It's just like the plant in your window. The more you water it, the more that you put it in the sun, the more you brush the dust off its leaves, talk to it. You know, you could talk to plants, right? There's like research that says that plants grow faster when you talk to them. The more you meet the needs of the plant, the bigger it's going to grow and the healthier it's going to grow. That's just it.
I think a lot of people know this deep down, like instinctively.
Yeah.
They know that when their baby cries, they pick them up. It's, you know, to answer to their needs and respond to their needs and all of that stuff. Just maternally, it's just an instinct to do that. And other people say not to do that, which is why this can be confusing at times. It's because it's usually other people that say, don't do that. You can't pick them up every time they cry, or they're going to get used to that. And then you get people who are the parent who says, that instinctively feels wrong to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you hear, and you have people who are, I remember when attachment parent, when Jamie Grumet was on, Jamie Lynn Grumet, that was her name. She was on the cover of Time magazine, nursing her baby, her toddler. And that was when attachment parenting was like really big, and the media was covering it a lot. And Dr. Sears went on The View. You remember The View with all the, I don't even know if it's still a show.
I don't know either.
Anyway,
I think it might be.
They were all just like up in arms about this. Like, how can you expect us to, you know, constantly answer baby's cries and constantly be there with them and constantly. And at one point somebody mentioned like cry it out and how, and like, you know, having their baby in the other room crying and how horrible it is. And he was like, yeah, it feels horrible, right? Like, we are not, that's your instincts going, like, connecting to the baby, being like, oh my God, I feel like I should be picking this baby up. It feels horrible to leave this baby crying in another room, but that's what my doctor told me to do. That's what everyone's telling me that I need to do to make it, have my healthy baby. I think I told this the last time we were having this conversation, that I watched an old Family Ties episode.
Oh, yeah. Remember? Yep.
And they were literally having this conversation, like the baby was in the room crying and the mom and the dad were outside the door having this discussion with each other. They're like, oh, we need to pick the baby up. And they're like, well, no, we need to make sure that, you know, we can't answer their cries every single time. They can't get used to it. They need to learn. Oh, but it feels so terrible. Oh, we should pick the baby up. But no. And they were just going back and forth with this exact same like argument. And it was funny. And it was the 80s too, right? Where that was like a big thing. Yep. It's like, leave the baby to cry. The baby needs to learn how to. Baby needs to strengthen their lungs. I mean, people used to say, like, you know, they need strong lungs.
It's
like, no, ew.
Chaos. Yeah. But with separation anxiety, like, there's not a lot that you can do. This is just developmentally normal for them. And I mean, you have to leave. Like, have to go to work. If you have to go to work and your baby's crying because you're trying to leave, like, that's the separation anxiety. Because you're leaving them in a daycare, you're leaving them with a caregiver, and you're trying to leave to go to work, and they're crying. Like, what do you do? You know, like, what are you supposed to do when that happens? Because that's really not, I don't want to say frustrating, that's not the right word, but that's anxiety provoking for the parent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, should we take a
break? Yes, we should take a break, and then we gather then we'll our thoughts, because we get both get very worked up about this.
I know.
And then we'll talk more about what to do.
Perfect.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Similre Breast Pumps. Similre Breast Pumps wants you to have control of your pumping journey. With a continuous focus on research and development and a team comprised of CLCs, that's Certified Lactation Consultants, Similre Breast Pumps strives to offer pumps for every lifestyle. From ultra tiny pumps as small as a sticky note, to fully adjustable pumps with 85 combination settings, you're in control of your pumping journey. And they are announcing the release of their latest S7 pump, which you can check out at Similre Breast Pumps on Instagram. You can check out all the features of that. They also offer resources like virtual breast shield sizing consultations in English and in Spanish, and they have an exclusive Get the Right Fit program that offers a third set of breast shields for free if the ones that are come in the box don't fit. Similre gives you tools for a successful journey, a safe choice for everyone. All Similre parts and storage bags are phthalate and BPA free. Better yet, Similre breast pumps can be personalized with a fun pumpkin decal. You can see their entire pump family at similrebreastpumps.com. That's C-I-M-I-L-R-E breastpumps.com. And you can use code BADASS for 15% off of your order. And today's sponsor and the promo code can be found in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from, or over at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. And over there, you'll also find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
So the first thing that I want to say is that separation anxiety can start as early as 4 to 5 months, but it's typically around 9 months that you're going to see it. And then going into toddlerhood, too, is really normal.
And if you have a really high needs baby, you might not be able to tell the difference. They might just always act like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack always acted like that. I can't say there was like times. Like he was just super needy. Like there's some babies that are just so super needy. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. Hard. Is it separation anxiety? I don't know what. It's been going on the whole time. I don't know. Like, that's okay. It's okay.
It's totally fine.
You just have a really high needs baby. And those are normal babies too.
Mm-hmm. And they turn out to be normal children, normal humans.
Absolutely.
I mean, Jack's normal.
Even better because they're super sensitive. So they're, you know, life is hard for sensitive people, but they like, you know, feel deeply and sense things, you know, kind of more than other people. And I don't know. It's cool. Yeah, they're, you know, everybody's totally got their own personality. They grow up to be who they're going to be.
Yeah, totally, totally normal. Totally normal.
Were you going to say more? Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so what causes it? So it actually comes from when babies begin to learn object permanence. And what that is what, really what that is that babies starting to understand that when mom or dad leaves the room, they're still gone. They're gone and they're not back here. It's when they start to understand that people and objects continue to exist even when they can't see them anymore.
It's like when peekaboo stops working.
Right.
When they start to understand that you're still there.
Yeah. They start to understand. So they do, and because they don't have an understanding of time, like they don't know, like when you say, I'll be back in 5 minutes, they don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It's like when I say that to my dogs.
I know. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. They don't know what that means. Babies have no sense of time. They have no idea what you're talking about. So they don't know. So, and it just causes them, like, they don't, they're like, where's my, you know, where's my parent? Where's my person? Like, this is giving me, making me agitated. I don't know where they are. And they start to cry and they start to fuss and, you know, just kind of becomes a thing.
Yeah, because this is a part of, like, about the whole evolution of, you know, the baby, maybe evolution is not the right word, the development of baby. After the baby is born, the baby is, you know, put to the caregiver's chest or, you know, is breastfeeding, and they become acclimated to this, to your body as like a their environment. This is their new home. This is all they know. You know, they came from the womb. Now they're here. And this is what, this is really what we call like the fourth trimester, where they are just on you. You're just holding them. You're, you know, with them all the time. And they just sort of, that's just all they know. That's really what they're most comfortable with. And they're, that's how they're starting to form this attachment. And, that starts to change. Like you, and like you were saying.
Yeah, it starts to change. And these babies start to recognize what's going on. They start to become aware of what's going on. They're like, I'm on to you. You're leaving for work.
You're leaving, yeah.
You're leaving for work.
I know. What do I do? I think I've told this story too, that when I used to go to this, like, to this, like, I don't know, a kid, like a little kid's music class or something with Jack after Exley was born, just for, you know, some bonding time. But I would hold Exley when the babysitter would ring the doorbell, and I'd open the door, and as soon as he would see her, he'd start crying.
Aww.
And he knew.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute. This is the first step of you not being here.
Yeah.
But if he had been younger, he wouldn't know.
Right. Exactly. So what can you do about it? What do you do about separation anxiety?
There is nothing you can do about it. You lean into it.
Yeah.
You know, you be there as much as you can. You hold them. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not because you're doing something wrong. It's not, there's no magic answer. It is just a basic developmental stage that your baby's going to go through. And, you know, you continue to be there and meet those needs. I mean, as much as you can. Obviously, you still have to go to work.
Right. But one of the things they say don't do is don't sneak away.
Oh,
like if you're leaving the, you know, you're leaving the baby with a caretaker or whatever, don't be like, all right, the baby's not looking. I'm going to go right now while they're not crying and not looking. Like then your baby starts to learn that you're like abandoning them. That's what it feels like to them. Like then they look up and you're gone. It's fine to say goodbye to them. It's fine to give them a hug goodbye. It's fine to give them kisses goodbye. Lots of snuggling, lots of holding, fostering secure attachment by spending that time when you're with them. You know, comforting them when they're upset. All of that stuff is good to do. You definitely should not be just saying, oh, they're going to be fine, and sneaking away.
Yeah. Yeah, I have this quote from this blog that I was reading. It's so good. It says, the concept separation anxiety is the invention of a society that denies a baby's and child's need for uninterrupted connection. In this vein, we can deprive a child of food and describe her reaction as hunger anxiety. Or we can let her be cold and call her cries temperature anxiety.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like, there is no such thing really as separation anxiety. It's just like, this is just what a baby needs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
They just need to be with you. Say having a regular routine helps. That just, you know, that way babies know what's going to happen. They start to know, like, what's going to happen, providing that consistency. And that's really helpful, especially when they're toddlers. Playing games with them, things like peekaboo actually does help. And I know I've read that somewhere else before too, you are like, you know, playing peekaboo is good because it kind of helps them learn that when you're out of sight, you're going to come back.
Yeah.
I'm playing it here with me by myself. Nobody can see me, but you know, I'm like covering my eyes. But that is, or covering a toy with a blanket. And then like whipping it off, like you can't see it, but it's still here. Look, you know, like that kind of thing helps babies to kind of adjust. Introducing new caregivers gradually, give them time to get to know their caregivers. Like if you're starting a daycare, maybe have like a couple introductory sections. I've known families that have done that. They've done like trial runs and, you know, just to make sure that their baby does okay there. And that's something that you could do, you know, start, you know, like a week or so ahead of when you have to go back.
Yeah.
Have a couple hours at the daycare or with a caretaker, whoever's going to be watching your baby, just to kind of like make sure that everything is okay and that your baby is going to settle in okay. And then when you really need to go, you'll probably feel more comfortable. And so the thing that we haven't talked about yet is how this impacts the parent.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the same. Terrible. This is really hard on the parent, too. I mean, how it feels when you're walking away from your baby and they're crying. I mean, that feels terrible.
Yeah.
It feels unnatural.
Yeah.
But it's a very normal process for them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a very normal thing to go through when you have this, all of us who are like natural beings. Living in this world that is not, you know, it's not, there's no, like, if you go into the animal kingdom, there's no, like, parents going to work from 9 to 5 and then coming back. And, like, there's all these kind of unnatural things that we do. And that's fine. You know, this is the world we live in. That's it. And, you know, your baby will get through it. But, I mean, this is just sort of, like, one of those symptoms and why sometimes it just feels like you don't want to do it.
As much as stuff that I was looking for, I did not see anything about how the parent can, can cope, you know?
Well, yeah. How do you cope with?
Nobody cares about the parent.
Anxiety and depression. I mean, that's.
Yeah. It's really hard.
I don't know. There's not a lot of answers to, again, this situation that is just sort of a symptom of the world that we live in. And we're, it's not changing anytime soon.
One of the other things they say, too, is that if, like, if your baby is hungry or tired or not feeling good, like, that can cause, that can make it worse for them. You know, like, if they're already having a bad day. And yeah. then their parent leaves them, like that can make it, you know, that separation anxiety a little bit worse. So make sure they're fed before you go. Make sure that, you know, they're set. They have everything they need before you drop them off, before you leave. Even if you're just, you know, we're talking about like, oh, before you go to work. But even if you're like just going out for the evening, you know, this can happen. So wherever you're going, make sure your baby's already fed. They're already set. Sometimes, like if you're going out for the evening and say leaving your baby with your parents or something like that, be like, oh, I'll leave a bottle for the, you know, for my mom to give to the baby or whatever. No, make sure your baby's fed before you leave.
Yeah,
your mom doesn't have to give the bottle, or the grandparents, whatever. It's totally okay.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, if your baby has like a favorite person at daycare, you know, you can organize to like pass them off to that person and maybe do their favorite thing if they have a favorite thing they do. Kind of do that first when the baby's there to help with the transition.
If they have a favorite toy or a blanket, something like that. I mean, you might have to wash that thing every day. It's going to daycare with you, but it might be, you know, might
I don't
be
know.
Helpful.
You can, it's not going to help.
Yeah.
I mean that baby has ingested all those germs before they even get home.
Yep.
And I have a strong immune system.
Oh, they will for sure. Have the strongest immune system that anybody.
Although, I don't know. I mean, I feel like my kids didn't go to daycare. They don't even go to school. And I feel like we're sick all the time. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. At work, it's just weird. I think you're just going to get sick
everywhere. Yeah. You're going to get sick. Goes around.
Yeah. I do think it doesn't last as long when you're breastfeeding, when they've had breast milk.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think it doesn't last as long.
That's true.
But that's just my opinion. I don't know if there's any research on that. So basically, with separation anxiety, this is normal. It's a normal process. It's hard. It's definitely hard. We didn't even talk about like what happens at night, because this could happen at night when you're trying to put your babies down to sleep and turn off the light and walk out the room. And then they're like, where the heck are you going? I don't think so.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's when co-sleeping and bed sharing is really going to be nice, because you can kind of, baby can catch up with you. We've talked about this before too. They might be more wakeful at night as you're transitioning to go back to work or something, because they're just so happy to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. And you're happy to see them. So it's good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're also really tired, but I mean, people get more sleep when they're bed sharing. That's just how it is. That's just the research. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just how it is. You're just going to get more sleep when you're bed sharing.
You can, you know, yeah, things might. If you have an older, like a toddler, you might find them being like really, really whiny. And, you know, they more whiny. And like following you, trying to get you into the bathroom with you, maybe more than ever. They all do that, I feel like, but yeah, with toddlers, they're like much more like vocal and active about it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just scrolling through this thing.
But you'll get past it.
Yeah. And it is totally normal. And just because your friend's baby isn't as like clingy or as needy doesn't mean anything. You know, it just means that your baby is your baby. And I feel like Exley is more willing to go. Jack is 12. And he is still not like, he's just not, he'd rather be with me. He doesn't really want to go on sleepovers. He doesn't want to like go to hang out at someone's house. He'd rather his friends come here. He's just, you know, that's just him. Just how he likes it.
Jessica's 21 and she doesn't like it when I leave.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. And Exley's a little, you know, he's very attached as well. He's still sleeping with me. But like if our neighbor like is like, hey, you want to come over? Like he's game. He'll go. Especially if they have food. but they're just different.
They are different. They are different. And it's okay because it's all fine. It's just, you know, a lot of it is the personality of your baby.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah. And how they just
react.
Focus on your own feelings about it because your baby's going to get through it and you're going to get through it too. But as far as like managing your own anxiety, I would just focus on that.
Yeah, for sure. But that's it.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.